All right, what's up, everybody? Good morning to you. Merry Christmas. Can you look at the person next to you and tell them Merry Christmas? Let them know. We are, yeah, 1 week away. How many all ready for Christmas? Not many. How many still got a lot more shopping you got to get done? All right. Yeah, a lot of you. All right. I'm one of those. All right. Got to get my shopping on the next couple days. All right. Well, it's good to see you guys, and really excited for today and this message. And I was thinking this morning, I told Bethany, I said, well, this is our last Sunday of the year because we don't have Christmas Day services next Sunday. We have Christmas Eve services on Saturday, which I'll tell you more about that you just absolutely will not want to miss it. And so, just thankful so much. I think about what God is doing with ARC and just honored for us as a church to be a part of that. I want to tell you two other quick stats with that that's powerful that you guys are a part of. So this year we helped to plant 79 new churches and saw 1,000 people give their hearts to Jesus through those 79 churches. Isn't that amazing, everybody? Yeah, to God be the glory. That's awesome. It's awesome. So a portion of your giving goes to help those new churches, as you know, and just super thankful for you guys and your generosity. So I also want to let you know, just kind of an opportunity for me to, I think, let you know ahead of time in case we have another snowstorm. I know that was kind of a big deal last weekend, and we had to kind of change up our schedule around here. If we ever have to kind of alter our services, or we haven't had to ever cancel much, but we've had to do it in the past in our short 4 years together. But if we do, just a couple things to know. First of all, you can find out on the television stations. We call in usually CBS, ABC, NBC, those main networks. At the bottom, you'll see the scrolling. So you can look for updated info there. Also online on specifically Facebook, Instagram. If you're not following us on there, I encourage you to do that. Really keep a lot of things updated through our social media, but also it's a way for us to communicate to you on things like that. And then lastly, it's through our app. If you haven't downloaded the Elevate City app, I encourage you to do that because that's another way that we try to let everybody know just through push notifications. And so I know some of you guys receive that. And so I just wanted to keep you up to date if we would have any more of those kind of storms. Seems like I've lived here only 5 years, but it snows every Sunday, I feel like, in Fort Wayne. I don't understand that. I've talked to pastor friends of mine. I'm like, what is with snow every Sunday? I don't understand. So anyways, we're trying to move past that. All right, move forward in Jesus' name. All right. But nonetheless, just want y'all to make sure you know that. Lastly, just want to encourage you because I know many were out because of the weather last week. We did have Pastor Rob Yanok was in, even through the snowstorm, man, he got in and just delivered a great message on hope. I am not kidding you, and I'm not just saying this to say it. It really one of the greatest messages I've personally heard on the message of hope. And so if you missed it, get a hold of it and get on our app, get online, listen to that. But at the beginning of the message, I wanted you, the church, to know that God really gave something specific for us. And just a prophetic word, and that is to come to pass in Jesus' name in this next year. And he said, I just heard the word double. And he said, I just feel like I'm supposed to speak that. And he spoke it to us. So I just know as a church, we want to take words like that we hear, and we want to pray over those things. And we want to pray over that word and believe in God for a bigger, better 2017 than 2016. Listen, this was a good year, but I'm believing for a lot better things in 2017. Anybody else with me on that? I'm just believing for it to be powerful, for it to be, and I'm really believing for significance that by the time next year, and you'll hear me say this again in a few weeks, that we will look at the end of 2017 and say, but God, but God. Amen, everybody. And so we start that new Freedom series the first Sunday of January. And I just want to encourage you. I know it's New Year's Day, but I just want to encourage you. I can't think of a better place to be, a better place to start my year than to be right up in his house, giving him the praise, giving him all the glory, and man, just jumping in and being a part of what God wants to do in 2017. So I just got some things stirring in my heart. Would love to make that a priority. Be with us on that New Year's Day. It's going to be awesome. Well, I was thinking about this message today because we're in between series over the last few weeks, which I love. I love kind of taking a couple weeks off of series from time to time and just kind of speak on different things. But today, as we're just a week out from Christmas, I thought this would be fitting to talk to us on the subject of just, man, that impact of Jesus being born, but maybe quite not like maybe you've seen it or heard before, and that's kind of my challenge to bring that to you. But I was also thinking about it being Christmas time. You know, it's time for all the movies are out. How many enjoy all the Christmas movies? I know in my house we've been binging a little bit, watched a little Home Alone 2. How many Home Alone fans in the house? Yeah, come on, oldie but a goodie, right? And then Elf, that's one of our other favorites, and so we were watching that as well. And then all the Christmas carols. Yeah, and I was thinking about this, excuse me, that Christmas carols are really interesting songs. Like, they're catchy, but some of them, like, they're head-scratchers, aren't they? Like, you know, I think about Silent Night. What's around yon virgin anyway? Like, what's that mean? You know, or Yuletide? Anybody know? I mean, maybe you can explain it to me later. But one of the songs that I've thought about often, and I thought, man, I just don't understand this, but I'll sing it. It's kind of cool. But it's, Do You Hear What I Hear? All right, and part of the song, it says, a little lamb talking to a shepherd boy. How many know if a little lamb's talking to a shepherd boy, we might need to counsel that shepherd boy, all right? Help him out a little bit. And then it goes on to say, a child shivering in the cold, let us bring him silver and gold. How about bring him a jacket, some mittens, some earmuffs, right? Some hot chocolate, warm that boy up. Anyways, it just has got me thinking, and I thought, there's just interesting songs out there that we sing at Christmas time, but the very first Christmas is what I want to talk to you about. And trust me when I tell you, it was more dysfunctional than what you and I have experienced. I'll tell you that. And so that's kind of where I want to go today. And I just titled this message, A Not So Perfect Christmas, because it wasn't. And what Christ was born into was really chaos that was happening around him. But an angel comes and speaks to Jesus, speaks to Mary, telling Mary that she is going to be pregnant with Christ, who's going to be the Son of God, the Messiah. And she responds in chapter 1 of Luke, verse 38, and says, I am the Lord's servant, and may everything you have said about me come true. So I want it to happen. And she kind of wrestled with it, but then she gave in to what the Lord wanted and said, I want this to come about. And what happened after that was literally chaos. Her life literally fell apart after that. And I think that you and I will be able to find a lot of just relevance of what happened, that we can identify with some of the things that are taking place within this story, because Joseph and Mary faced some of the same challenges, I'm telling you, that some of us right now are facing in this moment, in this day, that you've been carrying. And so I'm just believing by the power of the Holy Spirit that God just does something supernatural in your life right here before Christmas comes about. Can you say a good amen? And so I just hope you've come expecting God to speak to you today. And so here's what I know. They went through these moments together individually, and then in moments, I think you and I feel this way too, but they experienced feelings of betrayal. This is a real moment because after she found out that she was pregnant, she became a social outcast in her culture. People around her that were so-called friends and family are the same ones that shamed her for her pregnancy, that name-called her, made fun of her. And Joseph, as you can imagine, is you know, working to marry this girl. And you can imagine what kind of shock this would be for him. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, it says, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so what I want to try to do today is, what happens is we Americanize these stories. And ultimately, I think we just kind of miss the impact of what is happening. I love the Bible. The Bible is packed with drama. Like, there are movies yet to be made, I'm telling you, from Scripture. And when you really dive in and look at the story of what's happening, it is incredible to see. And so this is why I love the Word. But so marriage in Jewish culture is a lot different than marriage in our culture. They had stages that were in the Jewish culture. And so some scripture talks about saying they're a fiancé or being engaged. But Joseph makes the decision that he's actually going to work on ending this relationship and seeking divorce because of what has happened. Now you think, well, man, how can he do that when he's not married? Well, in that culture, it's different. The communication and the language of marriage and engagement is much, much different. And so they weren't engaged like we know engagement here in our culture, and they weren't, and marriage doesn't look the same way today as it did then. And so marriage was arranged. I mean, think about this, ladies, that her husband, Joseph, whom historians believe she didn't even know who he was picked for her. She didn't have a choice. That's your man. That's who you're going to marry. All right? And how many thank God that we're not in that culture anymore? Amen. Thank you, Jesus, right? And all the women said a good amen, right? All right? So, but nonetheless, that's what happened. She's around the age of 13 to 17. The historians believe Joseph was about 30 years of age. Yikes. Yeah, I know. Big gap there, right? So nonetheless, that's where they're at. And Joseph was in a place that he was earning money, having to raise enough resources essentially to buy her, which was part of a marriage contract between him and her father. So again, they're in the process of this happening, and when he had enough money, when he had enough resources, they then would actually consummate marriage first, which seems obviously backwards from how we're taught. Then they would have the marriage feast, then the wedding party, and then friends and family would come and celebrate and just have a good time. But so Joseph and Mary, here they are in the midst of this contract. Joseph's working hard to try to finish this deal up, essentially. But then a problem arises. And again, I'm just trying to get you to kind of work with me and imagine being in their shoes, because Mary comes up to Joseph and says, "Hey, Joe, I just want you to know I'm pregnant." And you got to imagine what Joe's thinking. All right, Joe's short for Joseph, for someone trying to figure that out, all right? But I like Joe better. Anyway, but Joseph, as you can imagine, he's thinking, "Girl, you cheated on me. What happened? Here I am working, trying to fulfill this contract, and then you go out and sleep with somebody else? Like, what is going on?" And Mary and Joseph are in this place, and you can just imagine kind of the back and forth, when Mary kind of says, "But it's not what you think." Joseph thinking, "Okay, then what is it?" And then Mary responds, "Well, God did this to me." And how many know, if you were Joseph, you might think, "Girl had lost her mind." You know what I mean? Like, "Girlfriend, like, listen, like, I love you. Don't know how this is happening," you know? And so you can imagine. But now he's in a place that he's got proof that he can end this marriage. He can end this contract. And so he can literally bring a certificate of divorce now against her because he has cause. Because she is pregnant. But the Bible says that Joseph was a just man, that he wanted to divorce her quietly. And the Bible talks about that he literally set a plan within his heart because he was convinced that Mary cheated on him and, "I want nothing to do with you." That's just where he was at. And so he was able to divorce her at no fault. He would be able to keep the money and the resources that he had worked so hard for. He still had to finish the contract, the agreement with her father, but then he would be able to go on with his life, and obviously Mary would not be married to him. But because he was a man of integrity, he didn't want to embarrass her. And for Joseph, he continually struggled with the fact of, "You're pregnant, and I don't think I can get beyond this." And so what God had to do is send an angel to him and tell him, "This is of the Lord, this is God," and for him to be able to go forward with marriage. Now, you talk about a dysfunctional Christmas, everybody. That's like a bad episode of Jerry Springer right there, isn't it? I mean, it just is. Lord have mercy. So, got some stuff going on, feelings of betrayal. And here's what I know, that in this season, that it's in these times when we think about relationships and family, that we think about times that we've been betrayed. We think about ones that we have loved that we feel like and know that have hurt us or in some way have impacted us in a negative way. And it seems like this time of year, it kind of bubbles back up to the surface again. And I'm just telling you, man, the Holy Spirit wants to help us with that today and see a different Christmas come about for our life. Here's the next thing they faced, and that was relentless hardships. In Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, it says, "At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. And she gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him in snuggling strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them." So here they are now trying to work between the betrayal of the feelings that they have to now they're facing hardships that seem to be, again, impossible, that a census is being taken, taxes are being owed, and now Joseph has got to go back to his hometown, which is, by the way, where all his family is at. Now, Mary at the time is very pregnant. Like pushing 9 months pregnant. Like, girlfriend is ready to have this baby soon, and now they got to move. So think about this. And so in the midst of this, this move from where they're at to where they need to be is about a 4 days journey on foot. So ladies, imagine being about 9 months pregnant and being told you've got to move, and there's no car to drive you there. You might have a camel that might be able to take you, but that's not going to be real comfortable, all right? And you might have to walk a little bit, and that just doesn't sound like fun, does it? And so you can imagine Mary and just, like, what else could go wrong, God, you know? I said, yes, and then this is what I get, you know? This, you got to imagine just the different feelings and the emotions that's going through her. And then they try to find a place, but because Joseph forgot to log on to hotels.com, man, they had to end up in a stable. They had no place. And so here they are, Jesus born in the stable there and put in a manger. I mean, come on, Joe, get with it, bro. But here's what I know. Hardships are something that we all face. I think sometimes that we get frustrated when in the seasons of those hardships. And I just want to encourage you in this, that no matter what you're facing, no matter what tough situations in front of you, I'm just telling you, I am convinced that hardships always are meant to bring us closer to God. Because how many know God has got a better clue and he's got a better vantage point than we do in what's going on in our lives, which is why we need him. Amen, everybody? And so we've got to trust the eye in the sky and know that he's got a better viewing point and vantage point for our life. And so when hardships hit us, challenges hit us, man, don't curse it. Bless it. And I'm just telling you, sometimes the very thing we may be trying to curse, God might be trying to bless. He can turn a situation around like no man can. That's why only he is God. Amen, church? And so understand and know that. And so make the decision that this Christmas is going to be different, that something even right here this morning in your heart, in Jesus' name, will begin to take a shift for the good. And so here's Mary again, dealing with the betrayal and being a social outcast and being questioned by Joseph and the things that she's going through. Things are just falling apart around her. And I think in this story of Mary and Joseph can look a lot like our lives, that we all have things that we're working through. We all have issues in our life. And you know what's interesting to me about their journey is that Mary and Joseph actually come from a royal lineage. And here's what that means. They were descendants of King David. And so because of that, they were in a place, and you could probably kind of imagine the chip that was on their shoulder, because if the Romans were not in power, they would actually be having baby Jesus up in a palace at the Ritz-Carlton somewhere. But because the Romans that were in power, their lineage wasn't, they are in a stable. They're in a garage. They're in a barn now somewhere. So you got to imagine how that could feel. And then the next part of what they're going through in this journey that I think many of us, I know, face at times, that's crushing loneliness. When you think about Joseph and Mary, you got to think, man, Lord, I know you spoke this. I know this is from you, but I feel like you're nowhere to be found. All this is happening. Like, what's going on? And here's what I know. Some of us can get in seasons in our life where maybe you're pursuing something that God has spoken you to do, and maybe you're questioning, God, are you with me still? What's happening? And we start in this place where we just feel alone, and God, are you answering my prayer? Are you responding? And here's what I know. I know there's people all over, there's thousands really in Fort Wayne that are experiencing crushing loneliness this Christmas season. December should be one of the most joyous times of the year, and I believe it should be, and we the church have got to celebrate the fact that, man, we're here because of the free gift of God sending his only son for us, amen? But here's also the reality for many people right now. This week, the last few weeks, is that statistically the month of December is the highest month of suicide more than any other month of the year. And you want to know what people need? They need the hope that is in Jesus. It's why we, the church, must be the church. We're not confined to a building, everybody. We're called to be salt and light outside these four walls and let our light shine like the song we sang this morning. Amen, church? And so why people need hope And they're not going to have that hope unless you and I are going to be the ones that's going to encourage them and let them know there's a God who loves them and there's a people that love them and that will embrace them. And that's who we are in this church. And so Mary and Joseph were ostracized by their family. They're facing all kinds of challenges. The Bible, it's interesting, highlights what could be, I think, intense family rejection from Joseph's side of the family. There's a study in this story of one of two possible outcomes that are taking place that I wanted to share with you. And I want you to remember, though, that when they're leaving, they have left to go back to Bethlehem where, again, Joseph is from and where all his family is at. So they head back to his hometown and they go to the hotel. Of course, forgot to log online and they get to the inn and we ain't got no room, no vacancy here. Sorry. Don't care that you're nine months pregnant, girl. You're going to have to go somewhere else. No room for you here. And it's horrible because he's got family just down the road. I mean, just think about this. Family down the road, and now there's no place for them to go. Another historical thought or outcome, they thought, historians of this story and how this took place, is the Greek word for inn. Man, this is so cool. I saw this week. And it's not the word that usually gets translated, all right? So, but it's the same Greek word that Jesus used right before he died. And so about the Last Supper and the upper room that he would stay in. So the word inn, I-N-N, actually is translated upper room, which I think is really, really interesting. And so what historians believe, they said they believe that there was no room in the upper room. In other words, that referred to the guest area of the family quarters of the family home of where Joseph's family was at. So that suggests that Mary and Joseph shows up to Joseph's family's house later than everybody else. And they go in and they try to go up to the upper room, the family quarters, but there's no room. And nobody is willing to leave to help this young girl. Think about that. Put the pregnant lady with the animal. Sorry, ain't no room here. I mean, that's cold. I mean, that's just cold-blooded is what that is. I mean, send the pregnant girl out. We'll stay warm in here. Y'all go suffer. You know, it's horrible. But no matter how you look at this, you see that his family, man, there is chaos and there is serious issues going on. And I know for some of us, we might be in the place that we're just trying to say, man, I just hope to get through the holidays. I'm just hoping to try to get through this. And I'm just praying that somehow, some way, I'll get beyond this and survive this. And here Mary and Joseph are trying to navigate through their chaos as well. And so crushing loneliness, though, is something I know that we all deal with. And it says this in Luke 2, that night where there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly, everybody say suddenly. It's cool. When you read that word in Scripture, usually something powerful, cool is getting ready to happen. And it says, an angel of the Lord appeared among them. Don't be afraid. He said, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, where the angels had returned to heaven. The shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So I'm going to bring this into reality of today. Mary, again, is giving birth to the Savior of the world in a barn, in a stable, garage, however you want to picture it. And it's interesting that God, man, the Father is looking at this situation in his heart, very moved. This is his son that's being born, but he also notices something, that it's just the three of them and a bunch of animals, and that they are alone. And I thought it was so cool of what happens and what is taking place, that God speaks to, in their culture, lower class shepherds that are working a third shift and calling them to go and to see what is taking place in Bethlehem, because there needs to be a party, because this is my son and I don't want him and Mary and Joseph by themselves. And so it's pretty cool, because all of a sudden shepherds start heading that direction, and then about 1 a.m. they get a little knock on the door at the garage and the stable, and they open it up, and it's the boys, man. They're there. They've come to celebrate and said, Mary and Joseph, hey, we heard the Savior is here. Can we see the boy? Like, that's why we just came to celebrate what God is doing. And that was the picture that Jesus was born into. Think about it. And some of us are saying, man, all I want to do is just survive this Christmas. All I want to do next Sunday is refrain from karate chopping, you know, my loved one in their throat next week in Jesus' name. Just try not to do that. You know, I thought about that movie, Christmas Vacation, and I specifically the moment when Clark is walking down the stairs, they're having breakfast, but his family, they're all standing up, and they're just going crazy. He takes one look, and then he just walks the other direction. I'm like, Clark, I'm with you, brother. That's what I do too, you know? So I want to give you a couple of things, though, to just kind of help us and just to remind us in this Christmas season, and then ultimately, you know, with your family as well, because I think it's so important. First of all, jot this down, and that's give the people you love a break. Give them a break. Yeah, give them a break. Think about this. Joseph thought Mary was nothing more than a cheater and didn't want anything to do with her. So much so that God had to send an angel to say, hey, Joe, wake up, bro. This is me. And so here they were going through that moment and going through the betrayal and all those different feelings. And here's what I know, that we have all felt let down by people that we love. I mean, you can't get around it. I know that at different points in our lives, through parents and siblings and other family, that we have felt let down by the people that we love. Proverbs 18:17 says, the person who tells one side of a story seems right until someone else comes and asks a question. That's why I love the word, man. I'm like, yep. But hang in there. And can I tell you, believe the best about them. I just think that's just such a lost value. It's just a lost value in our culture of believing the best about people. Just because somebody makes a mistake doesn't mean we just X them and throw them out and never want to talk to them again. Aren't you glad Jesus doesn't do that to you and me? Listen, we can never give up on people. Why? Because Jesus will never give up on us. Aren't you thankful for that radical love that constantly pursues us even when we were in seasons that we weren't pursuing him? Man, that's love, y'all. That's unconditional, godly love that I'm thankful for. And you and I both ought to give God some praise for. Amen, everybody? That's powerful. Yeah, it's powerful. And so 1 Corinthians 13, you know what's the antidote to a broken, sick society? Right here, love. Everybody say, love never gives up. You want to know what's going to help bring some healing is the body of Christ being the body of Christ and raising up in love. It says, love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, endures through every circumstance. Love. It's powerful. Here's the second thing. Number two, jot it down. Remember this, and I feel when I put this point in my message this past week, I know this is for people in all three services today, and I really feel this is a word for somebody. I think this is a prophetic word for somebody. I really believe this in my spirit as I was praying over this, that you need to remember that hardships are seasonal. Some of you are facing some of the most difficult times of your life right now, but I'm here to let you know it's seasonal. It's seasonal. It's not always going to be this way. Don't believe in the lie of the enemy that it's always going to be this way. It's a lie, and it's time to reject the lie in Jesus' name. Reject it. Don't buy into the lie. Believe that God is bigger than, and trust that he is. Amen, everybody? Read this verse with me in Ecclesiastes 3:3. Come on, help me out. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. Here's one of the things I appreciate about the state that we live in Indiana, all right? Now, I'm not always super appreciative of the cold, frigid temperatures that have hit us this week. Lord, have mercy, right? And I like snow around this time, and then it can go, all right? So after Christmas, New Year's, it can go, all right? But here's the thing that I'm reminded about living up here and living in Indiana, that winter's here, but I know that spring is coming. Spring's coming. Oh, yeah, summer's coming. Amen, everybody. Yeah, you get some amens because some people are ready for that right now. I know. Say, talk to me, Pastor. I'm talking to you, all right? And so here's what I'm reminded of, though, when I see that, and this is what I want to encourage you with, is that seasons are not forever. And that wherever season that you find yourself in, embrace whatever it is that God is teaching you, Listen to his voice, but know this season is going to turn. The hardship and the pain that you are going through, I'm telling you, it may hurt, it may be painful, but I'm telling you, God is going to use that pain to touch the life of somebody else. And so you just need to know today, if there's anything else you don't remember from this message, remember Jesus is the hope of everything that we have, keeping him the center. And then remember, second, this, that my hardship in whatever season I'm in is simply that, seasonal. It's not here to stay, because here's what I know. Some of us this Christmas are dealing with some of the most financial pressure that maybe you've ever felt and had. For some of us, this may be your first Christmas that you may be having without your family. For some, it may be somebody that may be having your first Christmas after a divorce. For some, it may be your first Christmas after the death of a loved one. And it's tough. It's difficult. It's real. I just want you to know that Jesus is next to you. That the Bible says he is close to the brokenhearted. Can I tell you that God is drawn to your brokenness? When you're hurting, he feels it. He knows it. He is so close to you today. And I just want you to know that before you leave, that God is close to you. And I look at this story and I think about how much God took care of them as he sent wise men to them bringing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. By the way, historians believe that was equivalent to about anywhere from 500,000 U.S. dollars to $1.5 million. I mean, Joseph and Joe and Mary had some low beginnings, but they're doing well now. I think God, and God's making sure his son and this family being taken care of. And that's what I'm reminded that whatever season I'm in, God will always take care of me. Lamentations chapter 3, great verse to keep close to your heart. Love this verse. It says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Amen. Here's the last one I'm going to give you this morning. That's this. Realize that you are never alone. You are never alone. God is with you. Never alone. Jesus said this in Mark 10. I tell you the truth, all those who have left houses, brothers, sisters, mother, father, children, or farms for me and for the good news will get more than they left. Here in this world, they will have 100 times more homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields. And with those things, they will also suffer for their belief. But in this age, they will have life forever. Listen, when you feel like you have stood for truth, when you feel like you have stood, because listen, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. When you stand for God and you feel like others have left, or maybe situations of truth and doing what's right, and you feel like people have left you, can I tell you something that your God will do? At about 1 a.m., you'll get a knock at the door that God's going to bring some shepherds up into your house to let you know how much he loves you and how much people do love you. And wants you to succeed and to do everything that God has for us. Why? Because we're never alone. God knows exactly what he's doing. This verse in Deuteronomy 31:6 is one that is very close to my heart. And one of the darkest seasons of my life. One of the most depressing seasons of my life. This verse came alive to me. God gave me this verse. I want to give it to you. When I read this that night, it was as if God himself, man, I could just hear his voice speaking. And it's this: be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord, listen to this, everybody, your God goes with you. And here's the last part that he really spelled out. And I will never leave you. And I will never forsake you. I just want you to know, in that moment, I read that scripture and I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke something real clear to me, and I wrote it in my journal. And I just heard this, that Kyle, as long as you're in a relationship with me, you'll never be in a place that I am not present at. And that rocked my world. I realized God is always with me. He is Emmanuel, God with us, everybody. Amen, church. Came across this quote, and then we're going to pray. Robert Flatt said this: the giving of gifts is not something man invented. God started the giving spree when he gave a gift beyond words, the unspeakable gift of his son. How many are thankful for Jesus in the house? Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads, and we're going to take communion in just a moment as well as a church. But I'm going to give an opportunity. If you don't know the Lord or have a relationship with him, I want to give you an opportunity right here before we leave here today. And maybe you're in a place right now searching. I want you to know you are in the right place. God, I thank you for your presence that's here. I thank you, God, that overwhelmingly, God, you are here. And I pray for your peace right now to move in this place upon every heart. And we thank you for the message of hope that we have, God, for you sending your son to us, and we're thankful. If you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with God, and maybe you're in a place that you just have seemed like you've just drifted from me, you say, God, man, I don't even know how I got where I'm at. But here's what I want to tell you. It doesn't matter. Don't try to figure that out. Focus on this moment right here with God. In just a moment, we're all going to pray, but I want to ask you right where you're at with every head bowed and all eyes closed to forget about who's sitting on your right and your left, because this is a moment between you and God. And I just want to ask you, sir, ma'am, student, I just want to ask you right now, and is Jesus first in your life? If you hesitate to answer that, then you need to make him first today. Make him first before you leave. Maybe you're in a place you need to recommit your heart. Maybe for whatever way, you've just not been pursuing after him, but today's the day, and you know it's time to step back into that relationship. All over this room, I'm going to count to three, and if that's you, I just want you to slip up your hand right where you're at, and you can put it right back down. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come down to the front. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I just want to encourage you, be bold, though, for God. Come on, all over this room. One, two, three. Come on, all over this place. Be bold, be bold, be bold. Say, man, that's me. Awesome. Got you. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, got you, man. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, man, got you. Praise the Lord. Awesome. Come on, now, church, we're all going to pray. If you lifted your hand, or if you weren't comfortable, that's fine, but just pray this prayer. I encourage you after me. Believe it in your heart. Confess with your mouth. Scripture says we'll be saved. Come on, say something like this after me. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Come on, church, let's pray it. Pray it strong. Thank you for paying the ultimate price for me. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my past. Today is a new day for me. I'm not looking back. Jesus, I surrender all that I am to you. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen.